Raise your voice with Yahala Voice.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town.
Talk of the Town
with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is Talk of the Town Radio. We're broadcast live on YahalaVoice.com and on 1450 AM Radio. It's Friday, January 23rd, 2015. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa, and if you want to call in during the show to talk about and join in the discussion about any topic, we, of course, welcome your comments and encourage you to share your opinion. We want to hear it. Our telephone call-in line is 708-321-1313, extension 1. That's 708-321-1313, extension 1. Talk of the Town is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number is 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live on radio at 1450 AM on the dial and online at YahalaVoice.com every Friday at 4 PM. Talk of the Town Radio is rebroadcast Mondays at 11 a.m. online, and it's available in podcast form at iTunes and on our news website at thearabdailynews.com, where you can read my column syndicated by Creator Syndicate. I also hope you'll read some of the stories that I write, the column I write for the local papers, including in this region, the Des Plaines Valley News, the Southwest News Herald, the Regional News, and the Palos Reporter newspapers. Check them out. This week, we got a couple of topics we're going to talk about. First, a little bit, and maybe in about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, we'll be talking with my colleague at the Arab Daily News, Ali Younis, and we're going to talk about King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, who died yesterday. Technically, it was Friday in Saudi Arabia when it happened. And we're going to talk because there's a big debate. A lot of people don't like the Saudis. A lot of people do like them. I personally think that they've been kind of progressive and moderate. They're trying to bring out change. I've had people on both sides attack me. Arabs attacking me because mainly, let's be honest, there's a big debate over Syria. Half the Arabs support Bashar al-Assad and Hezbollah, and half the Arabs don't. They support the Gulf Arabs who are trying to pull the rug out from the Assad family in Syria. And especially Christian Arabs, you know, the Assad family, they claim that they protect Christians in Syria. But the truth is that they were behind a lot of the violence that took place in Lebanon, which is one of the largest Arab countries with the largest Christian minority still in existence in the Middle East. So there's some issues there driving this. Politics plays a lot. And then from the Americans, a lot of Americans, you know, they hate Arabs and they hate Muslims and they hate Christian Arabs, and they think Christian Arabs like me are Muslim Arabs, and they don't have no idea what they're talking about half the time. You should read some of the stuff on my Facebook page. They don't like King Abdullah, and they hate the Saudis because I think, 18 of the hijackers that were involved on September 11, 2001 were from Saudi Arabia. So I guess, you know, it's okay to collectively blame an entire country just because 18 criminals happened to come there. But when, you know, some American criminal does some horrific massacre, Americans say, hey, don't blame us. That's just one person. Well, those were one people. You know, those individual hijackers weren't sanctioned by Saudi Arabia. The other thing is they'll point out that, you know, and I'm not saying Saudi Arabia is a perfect country. It's not. But when it comes to being an American and when it comes to the Middle East, I think Saudi Arabia represents the moderate voice. They do oppress women there. That's true. But so did this country. We didn't let women vote. They had no right to express their opinions. We would not hire them at jobs. We discriminated against them. In Saudi Arabia, they put it down on paper that they discriminated against women or, you know, would prevent women from doing things. But that's in Saudi Arabia. But here in the United States, you know, we just did it. You know, we didn't even defend it. And it took an amendment to the U.S. Constitution I think it was like in, what, the 1920s, where we finally gave women the right to vote. And African Americans, come on, who's been discriminated more and who did more discrimination and violence against African Americans than the United States? I mean, racism, segregation. We had a whole civil rights movement to change that, and that didn't change until the 1960s. You know, until LBJ was president, they fought hard. The whole movie Selma is all about how bad it really was in the 50s and 60s. So let's not pretend that this place is great. And keep in mind that in the United States, we used to, or at least before we became officially the United States, we used to burn women at the stake. If we didn't like them or they said something, we would call them witches and we would burn them at the stake. And we cut people's heads off too. So there's a progress that we've moved away from, and I don't think that should be denied to Saudi Arabia. They should be allowed to progress and move towards greater progress too. So King Abdullah, who died in Saudi Arabia, was trying to expand women's rights in Saudi Arabia, trying to change their interpretation of how they viewed Islam in terms of the way it applied to women. And those changes were taking place. Maybe not as fast as some people want, but they were taking place. We'll also talk with Ali Younis about Yemen and the mess that I really believe the United States created, because there has been a ongoing secret war in Yemen, driven by the United States, involving drones, where we've been killing and murdering people through drones. We've accused people of terrorism. You know, you don't have to prosecute anybody. You don't have to go to court anymore. Now you can just say, hey, that guy's a terrorist. Let's kill him. And we kill him, and that's the end of the story. No one investigates it. Nobody has to prove anything. We just do it. Somebody makes a decision in Washington, and it's done. And we've been doing that for 15 years, since September 11th. That's what we've been doing. 14 years, if you want to quibble about time. But it feels like 30 years. And the people there got fed up. They threw out the government, and now we got a mess. Now we got a group of people that don't like us, and another group of people called Al-Qaeda who don't like us, and they're now fighting over Yemen. And one of those groups that doesn't like us is eventually going to be in control. And finally, locally, bring the whole Middle East thing here locally, because and Facebook is probably the worst medium in the world. I think Facebook promotes more hate than any other social media I've been on. Now, it's not intentional, but what happens is, good people go on Facebook, they read something they don't like, and they lose their control. They get angry. Now, normally, when you hear something you don't like, you're kind of reasoned. You kind of sit back and you say, okay, I didn't agree with it. You calm down, you count to 10. By the time you meet the person who said whatever was said, you've thought about it, you're not as angry anymore, you have a discussion, you find out that even the person who said or did whatever they did, it really didn't mean it or wasn't, you know, whatever. So you kind of, in most cases, it just kind of goes away. But on Facebook today now, not only do normal people say crazy things, but crazy people have found a place to say stuff. And this week, some crazy dude got on Facebook and basically said something to the effect that, you know, because of what they, meaning all Muslims, you know, Khalid, you're responsible for Paris, according to this person. That's right. It's your fault and my fault and everybody here and all the Muslims in the world. 1.5 billion Muslims were all responsible for what happened in Paris by the act of a couple crazy people who were criminal terrorists. He said we should go and do the same thing. Maybe we should walk down the middle of the street without a worry in the world like they do, shooting everyone of the... I'm trying to read the word there. It's hard to read. I have it posted on my Facebook page if you want to read the dialogue between these two people. One crazy guy basically targeting and talking about the Bridgeview Mosque, which this week, I think it happened either Sunday or Monday, it got to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They put out a press release on it. I saw that press release yesterday. The police department in Bridgeview has been investigating it. The FBI has been investigating the charges. Now, mind you, if this had been a synagogue or Jewish, you know, target, and they've been talking about Jewish people walking around and they were going to shoot up some synagogue or whatever, all heck would break out, right? Everybody would be standing up, screaming and denouncing, which rightfully they should, because nobody should be saying stuff like that. But in this case, it's Muslims, and I don't hear a lot of the public out there screaming about how it's wrong to attack and criticize Muslims. I just don't hear it. Thankfully, the Bridgeview police are looking into it. Now, from what I understand, the FBI has decided that it doesn't rise to that level of violence. But I don't know. It seems like a hate crime to me, but it's not. Of course, as you know, it's never up to the local police. You know, the Bridgeview police can do the investigation. I know they have two suspects. One of the people who made the terrible comments, like I said, the WGN-TV was able to find the dialogue. They posted it on their Facebook page, and I shared it on my Facebook page where you can go and see it. And the Bridgeview police have done a great job protecting the mosque, defending the people over there, and they've always defended Muslims in Bridgeview and everybody, Christian, Muslim, Jews, it doesn't matter. But it's still up to the state's attorney to decide, you know, what they're going to do. So we're waiting to hear what's going to happen. But I know the two individuals, one who allegedly made these comments and another one who was part of the discussion back and forth, who I think may have turned him in, are being interviewed and have been interviewed or are being interviewed by the police and the state's attorney's office as we broadcast. Maybe later on today we'll actually find out what happened. You can go to thearabdailynews.com and you can read the story, the background on these threats against the Bridgeview Mosque. And one more thing that happened this week, it was really kind of sad. Let me find this. This was about a guy, I think his name was Muhammad Eid. He has a lot of friends in the Chicago area. This was in, I believe, Joliet. He was killed. He's 24 years old. This is Tuesday afternoon in Joliet. Muhammad Eid was his name, 24. And what was really poignant for me was that, you know, his father owned the Arab grocery store, Gardner Food Mart in, near Knoll Park, in Joliet. And what was really poignant, he had been killed when two guys walked into the store, tried to rob it. He pulled a gun out from under the counter, shot at the two guys, and one of the guys shot him and killed him instantly. The other guy was shot. He went to, one of the hospitals, St. Joseph Hospital out there in Joliet, and he died at the hospital. And I believe that there's a second suspect that the police in Joliet are looking for. But what made me feel good was that this Muhammad Eid, the way the community, which was African American, was speaking so positively about this guy, that he was one of the greatest people they'd seen. He was always had a smile on his face. He was the nicest guy in the world. You know, a lot of times there's tension between African Americans and American Arab store owners. But in this case, and I think Muhammad Eid symbolized the majority of Arabs in owned stores, not just in African American communities, but in white communities and Hispanic communities. He was a good guy, and it was just so sad to hear that he had been killed. Do we have Ali Yunus on the line? Let's bring Ali Yunus on and welcome him. Ali is the co-editor with me at the Arab Daily News. Ali, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ray? Thank you for having me.
No, of course. Listen, I mean, so much was going on this week. I said, who better than to have another discussion with you than, you know, you, to have you on to talk about some of these things. So many different things have happened. I was just talking about the threats against the Bridgeview Mosque, and it seems like anybody can say whatever they want about Muslims, and almost, you know, it's like, I don't know, I don't hear an outcry. The mayor, Rahm Emanuel, let's quiet for like 2 seconds. Maybe we might hear him. Nah, I didn't hear a word.
Well,
he didn't say one thing about this. Right, yeah, he's sleeping.
You see, because there are a lot of media outlets, mainly outlets like Fox News. There was an incident when there was a guy, I don't know what state, I forgot. Then when he listened to Fox News,
right.
Saying a lot of derogatory and inflammatory comments or information about the Muslim community, and he went and torched the mosque somewhere.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not sure where exactly, to be honest with you, but I read that story and I forgot what it was.
But wasn't there some guy who said that Muslims have their own neighborhoods and they impose, this was on Fox News, and they impose Sharia law or something like that? I'm thinking Muslim no-go zones, they call them.
Yeah,
you know,
that
and
was Governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal.
Yeah, on Fox News. Wasn't he saying that?
Yeah.
Hey, how does he get away with that?
He can get away with that with Fox News, you know, of course.
And because it's about Muslims.
But he was trying to present himself as a right-wing, anti-Muslim, patriot, American patriot, capitalizing on anti-Muslim and anti-Arab wave around the world, you know, in the aftermath of the terrorist attack on the French satire newspaper, Charlie.
Right.
So, and this guy, what he said was wrong. And this guy coming from an Indian immigrant, and I have an article on that in Arab Daily News, is an Indian. His parents were, you know, Indian immigrants, converted to Roman Catholicism from Hinduism. And he was referring to Muslims who come to the United States to assimilate and become Americans. I don't know what's the definition of do I become American? Do I change? Do I, you know, become a blonde person? Have a blue eyes? I mean, in your case, Ray, there's no hope for you to become white, you know, given, you know, the tone of your skin color.
Right.
So,
what color am I? I don't know. Khaled, what color am I? Can you tell? I don't know. What color am I? So I'm dark. I thought I was white until I went to Bogan High School in the 60s, and they told me I was black. They kicked me out of the school. And then when we lived on the southeast side, you know, African Americans were moving into the city and all the whites were leaving. We left with them thinking we were white. And, you know, I don't know. We're kind of like in the middle. We're stuck in the middle, us Arabs.
Well, you know, of course, there's that legal argument. You know, the Middle East and North Africa are more just white by definition as far as, you know, the law here. I mean, we're not even classified as minority, which is a bad thing because minority have maybe certain qualifications that they have them some professional treatment as far as contracts to make up for past discrimination or for institutional discrimination such as women or classified as minority under the law. So you have, you know, a leg up in the contractual agreements with the city or the state or the federal government. Nevertheless, you know, this guy, you know, was going and blasting Muslims, and very few people spoke against him as if it is acceptable, and it is, sad reality is, it is acceptable in this country around the world, as we have seen with the French satire newspaper, to mock Muslims, to insult our religious beliefs, you know, the beliefs that we hold sacred, you know, are just free for all. Go ahead and shoot at us and insult us and, you know, humiliate us, and you're not going to suffer any repercussions. As an example, if you, Section 20, you know,
you know, we lost Ali there. Yeah, that's the Mossad. You know the Mossad is hammering our radio show. They don't want us to talk about these things. We're going to take a break anyway, I think. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion with Ali Younis about the imbalance in the way they treat Muslims. And I'm not talking about, for example, the Bridgeview Police. They're doing a great job. They're out there in force. You know, they're protected. Our show is broadcast in Bridgeview. I don't want to let these people know exactly where until I'm gone. Up there, tell me they're giving me the Saudi Arabian end the show. I surrender. All right. You're listening to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. It's 1450 AM on the dial and at yahalavoice.com. And we will be right back with Ali Younis.
يا هلا فويس الصوت العربي في امريكا
هوم لايف فرنتشر اخر صيحات الاثاث وكل ما تحتاج من مفروشات هوم لايف فرنتشر الامانه الاخوه والدقه في المواعيد
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yehela Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
You have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Mancari's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Mancari's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Mancari's in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn.
On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc fee.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Rush, here to tell you about the best talk show on the planet. It's called Rise Up. If you're looking for a show that talks about all the issues that matter to you, then you need to listen to Rise Up. From the latest stories happening back home in Palestine, the Middle East, and of course, all the stories happening in our own backyard in Chicago, and of course, across the nation. That is what Rise Up is all about. Plus, Rise Up is a program that wants to hear from you. Call the show, 708-321-1313, extension 1. Oh, by the way, I also do this show with this guy named Bob. We call him the Great American. The guy thinks he's an expert when it comes to Arab-related news. Actually, he's not so bad. So listen to Rise Up every Wednesday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Central Time on Chicago's 1450 a.m. and YehadaVoice.com.
Raise your voice with YehadaVoice.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio here at 1450 AM and on www.yahalavoice.com radio. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number, 708-321-1313, extension 1. We're waiting for Ali Yunus to buzz us back. He's going to call us from a landline. He was having some problems with the cell phone. Hey, Khaled. Do we have?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Allie's there. Okay, good. Hang on, Allie. Yeah. Khaled, does during Rashid Darwish's show, I noticed there are no notes around here. Rashid or whatever. Gesundheit. Rashid Gesundheit. Did they play my commercial during his show? Are you sure? You're not saying that just so I don't get upset. Does he object? Does Rashid? He does complain, see? So it's not me, right? He's the guy starting this fight, this brutality. I should file a hate crime charge against him, the way he's attacking me. It's unbelievable. Well, yeah, the FBI, let's go Interpol, because I bet if they really looked at him closely, maybe. Let's say that in Arabic so that other people don't. What we're talking about. Yeah, Rashid Gesundheit. Every time I hear his name, I want to bless him. I go, oh, God bless you, Rashid. Because his name sounds like a sneeze. But he's a good guy. You know, he's not a bad guy. He's just young and, you know, lost. You know, these young guys, they don't know what they're doing. They're just kind of out there, so. But I like him. You know, eventually he'll come around. All right, let's go back to Ali Yunus. Rush, Khaled saved you. Okay, let's go back to Ali Yunus. Hey, Ali. So we got you on the line, right? You know, they're beating up on me over here in Chicago. I wonder why. I'm such a loving guy, Allie. What is it about me? Why don't they like me?
I mean, that's the story of your life.
It is.
I'm serious.
It is the story of my life.
Involved in some kind of controversy. You know,
it is from Jackie like Mason. Remember that? Holy moly.
Yeah,
I have to thank you for that, helping me. You were in the audience. Remember when Jackie Mason got up and said, the manager of the club at Zany's got up and said, well, Jackie Mason, Ray Hanania can't be here because Jackie Mason doesn't feel comfortable appearing with a Palestinian. They said that on stage.
I was out of town. I remember I was out of town and we got you all the media and all the coverage to cover the story. That was a very good story, really. And
they made me look bad, but you know, the Arab community didn't stand up for me. They don't care. If I were some guy like Khaled Khilfa, they would care, right?
Well, in Chicago, I've always held the belief that, okay, there are a lot of Arabs in Chicago.
Yeah.
But you don't see community institutions.
Yeah. You know? We're just floating around like dust. We're out there.
It's a lot of people. I mean, you gather in the mosque and the churches, you know, every Friday or every Sunday.
Yeah.
But you don't have strong institutions that rally together at the time of a crisis.
Right.
At the time of...
No, listen.
Like if you have a hate crime against someone,
right.
You don't see a lot of...
Right.
You know,
where are the protests?
Lawyers.
Where's the people? Let's go to the mosque and protect the mosque. You know, join the Bridgeview police and protect them. You know, and stand up for them. Where are all the people? It's like nobody cares around here. The only time we care is when somebody gets to get in front of a... You know, to give a big speech at a convention, and there's a lot of dancing and Mensif. Mensif and dancing.
Right.
They have Mensif and dancing and Kulthum and,
Which is fine. I mean, that's part of the culture.
I don't know. It's not like that in Detroit. You go to Detroit. Wow. What a powerful community. You go to Houston and Dallas. The community stands together. Chicago, it's like they hate everybody hates everybody.
You know, because, I think in Chicago, if you remember in the 80s, Chicago was divided among these secular groups, Palestinian groups, Jordanian groups, and then religious groups became more prominent, the mosques became more prominent,
right.
And then the other groups disappeared, so you only have the mosques. There is no diversity within the community that could absorb. I mean, it's all right to be, you know, religious from an Islamic point of view or a Christian point of view.
Right.
But also, it's better to more diverse.
Do you know that I get yelled at when people say, why do you say Christian and Muslim? We're all Arab. And I go, okay, where are the Arab organizations? They're all Islamic organizations. Where's your Arab organization that denounced the threats against the Bridgeview Mosque? Not one. I didn't see any Arab organizations.
Right.
Because
if you remember, you know, after September 11, you know, everybody reminded you who you are as a Muslim because everybody was picking on Muslims, you know.
Yeah, the Americans thought I was Muslim and the Arabs would say, no, you're Messiah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, that's the story of, you know, all immigrants. They come in, they bring their baggage.
It's terrible.
Whether they Christian, Muslims, Hindu.
You're the only guy that likes me, I think, other than Khaled.
I don't know because Khaled has to be here.
He's forced to work the board.
I just coexist with you, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. See, he even denies it. Look, Khaled, even Ali's denying me. Yeah, I know. I'm whining. Is that me whining?
Yeah.
Listen, you're the only guy that defends me, and which is okay, I guess. But you know, it's like wow. And you know, people come up to me and go, Ray, why do you get out there and fight for the Arabs when your biggest critics are Arabs? The Arabs hate you, and I go, well, you know, we're oppressed. We're victims.
You know, when you have enemies in the Arab community, and I see it all the time, you become an Israeli, you become the enemy.
Yeah, I'm the Mossad.
The enemy that they hate. The enemy they hate, whether it's CIA, FBI, Mossad, this Mukhabarat, that Mukhabarat.
Right.
It depends if you're in Yemen or if you're in Saudi Arabia or if you're in Jordan or, you know, whatever. So, I mean... What are you going to do? This is the classic, typical cases of immigrant communities. But I think the Arab community, the younger generation, the second, third, and fourth, they don't have these issues because they
I hope you're right.
The whole country.
I hope you're right.
Because if they do
have those issues, we're in a lot of trouble. We're already in bad trouble. The Middle East is a mess. Nobody's talking about Palestine anymore. You know, when I was younger, I used to do a radio show called The Voice of Palestine. Every week, we drive up to the north side. Every Sunday night, we do an hour and get on there. Do you know how often we would be investigated by the FBI because we were Arab? And it wasn't Muslim and Christian. We were Arab. Muslim and Christian. Just like, that's why I love this radio show, Yahala Voice, because nobody says you're Muslim or Christian here. We're Arab. I'm proud to be Arab.
Right. But see, the community here, Ray, suffers from what happens in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's worse.
ISIS. Al-Qaeda,
yeah.
Brotherhoods, secularism, nationalism, the community gets also the bad vibe, gets a reflection of here because they react and interact, and the FBI, like in Somalia, in Minneapolis, the FBI, you watch in the Somali community in Somalia, who some of them are traveled to Somalia to fight with Al-Shabaab group, which is a terrorist organization in Europe, or some here, people like who want to join ISIS.
We can't
isolate ourselves from what's happening in the Middle East.
Well, let's do this. Let's switch from the king of radio, Ray Hananiyah, to the late king of Saudi Arabia who just died. And why is it that the Arab community is so divided over Saudi Arabia? I see it, you know, I'm getting hit from both sides. People are angry with the Saudis. Some people support them, some people are really angry. How can we be an Arab community when we can't even come together for our own? You know, we're divided. Why is there a division over Saudi Arabia? Why?
It's okay. I mean, it's healthy. I mean, it is healthy. I find it healthy because, first of all, if we all agree that we love Saudi Arabia, and we love the king of Saudi Arabia, and God had mercy on his soul, he's meeting his maker.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any bad thing about him.
Right.
But if we all love like the king of Saudi Arabia, we are in big trouble. So I think it is healthy that some of us, especially Saudis, he was their king. They love him. They are nationalists. And the Saudi Arabian government finance everything. The Saudi citizens, I mean, every Saudi students who come here is financed by his government. They bring him here. If they bring his wife as a student,
yeah,
and
but
a maid too.
But it's not just the Saudis. You know, the Saudis were they didn't just support Saudis. They supported the Palestinians. They gave us so much money. They built so many mosques.
The first
mosques that were built here were built with Saudi money. The Saudis
helped build Islam
in the United States. Why doesn't anybody think of that? They think, no, they're bad people.
I'll tell you why. Because, you know, there's another argument to that. Saudi Arabia built a lot of mosques, but only to support Saudi Arabian interests and influence among Muslims in the United States.
Well, if you were going to put your money down to do something, would you put your money down to help me or would you put your money to help you? Right?
But if you want to do something for religion, for charity, but, you know, Saudi Arabia is not in a charitable business, okay?
Okay.
I want to mention.
I'm playing the devil's advocate here, just completely defending Saudi Arabia.
But it's all right. But Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. You know, this is an absolute
Arab country is a democracy? Name one Arab country. Jordan. Is Jordan a democracy? Is Syria a democracy?
We can discuss Jordan, Algeria, whatever you want. Even the Palestinians are not a democracy.
Right.
We can discuss all of that. But
none of them. Hamas isn't a democracy. They're not a democracy.
And they're not claiming themselves to be as such. Okay? So, I mean, that's understandable. But, you know, so Saudi Arabia, for people who dislike the government there, their argument is, this guy's a despot. They control the country. They control the oil. There's a lot of poverty in Saudi Arabia. And they have, that's what they say, evil influence among Muslims all over the world. They spread a really very extremist strain of Islam, Wahhabism.
Yeah, but it turns out that's not as extreme as Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
Well, the roots of the ideological roots of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Wahhabism is Hanbalism for the Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who's one of the fourth school of thought among Islamic law. So it has the same roots as the Saudi monarchy as far as Islamic religion is concerned. So the Saudi Arabian monarchy, you know, they're not interested in spreading Islam as in getting adherence to Islam. They're interested in spreading their influence and competing with Iran and dealing with the Shia, you know, version of Islam.
Right.
So a lot of people dislike that and disagree with that. And on top of that, if you remember, you know, back in the summer during the Gaza war, the late King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, he gave a speech.
Right.
He never mentioned Gaza.
Right.
He never gave his support to Gaza. He actually was, during his speech, and I remember that speech, you know, and I wrote about it.
He didn't speak out.
Yeah, he didn't speak out, and he was actually, along with Egypt, everybody remembers, Egypt and most of the Arab countries were helping Israel. That was the first time.
They're all. And isn't it true, though, that it isn't just Saudi Arabia? Because it would be unfair to just, and I agree with you, that all of them.
Egypt and Jordan and the Gulf countries, with exception of Qatar, of course. I'm not saying that, but that's the fact.
Right.
Because, Israel.
Right. And everybody was mad at Qatar because of Al Jazeera, right?
Yeah. So Egypt,
all the Arab countries.
Army, it was still a whole is besieging Gaza and even now evacuating the town of Rafah on the Egyptian side.
Right.
So they could increase the, what they call the buffer zone. So,
right.
I mean, look, why would people, if I was Palestinian in Gaza, the king died?
No,
I
get
care.
It. Right.
If I was a poor guy in Jordan and Algeria, I don't care about the king of Saudi Arabia. This guy means nothing to me, just like Al-Sisi means nothing to me.
Right.
Just like Mahmoud Abbas.
Ali, let me ask you,
nothing to me.
Let me ask you this, because this really cuts to a very important issue. You know, when we vote as when we practice democracy here in the United States, I'm asked to vote for two people. Both of them could be the worst people in the world, but one of them is better. Why don't the Arabs look at Saudi Arabia or Jordan or Egypt and say, hey, it's better off or worse off than it was? We will reject, if it's not 100%, we don't want it. We reject it. Why are we like that? Why do we say no to almost everything that if there's a flaw, if they do something we don't like? That the Saudis did so much for Palestine, but it's not 100%. I agree with you. They did a lot of things. They were silent on the Israeli atrocities in Gaza. I wish they weren't. But when I look at all the Arab countries, I think that they were the most moderate out of the bunch.
Right. I mean, you have an argument there. But look, from if you, let's say the Palestinian government, you appreciate what Saudi Arabia have done. You appreciate the hundreds of millions of dollars they pumped into it, into the Palestinian authority, into the Palestinian rebuilding Palestine.
Right.
But, you know, people have more expectations. Saudi Arabia and most of the Gulf, they could care less about Palestine anymore.
And nobody could care about Palestine.
I think they're Lieberman. Now, I was meeting with secret Gulf officials, mostly from the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, that's terrible. I think that's horrible.
Yeah,
how do they? Are fanatics. It's not about being Israeli. It's about Netanyahu, Lieberman, Naftali, Bennett. These guys are terrorists.
Yeah. So does Palestine register on their radar? No. Now, even critics of Mahmoud Abbas, also critics of Hamas, they also have the same argument against Hamas.
Right.
And against Mahmoud Abbas.
I get it. Well, how much is it our fault? How much is it?
Well, look.
Are we responsible as Palestinians that all the Arabs have turned their back on us?
But you see, really,
are we partly responsible or do we always blame everybody else except ourselves?
We are partly responsible. But look, when the Arab peoples, like in Syria, in Yemen, in Libya, in Jordan, and all this was the so-called the Arab Spring, rebelled and revolted. There was a counter-revolution in Egypt, financed by Saudi Arabia, by the UAE, to reverse. Hosni Mubarak is out of jail. His son's out of jail.
Right.
The democratically elected government, Mohammed Morsi, are in jail. In Yemen. Yemen collapsed.
Wasn't Iran doing the same thing? Weren't they funding Assad and Hezbollah?
Right. So if I am a Syrian guy in Syria, and I want to, a Syrian citizen wanted reform, wanted democracy, wanted some kind of a freedom, to have a job, to have a health care, to have a better education. He did not even get that. The same person is in Egypt.
Right.
You know, Egyptians did not rebel because they want to change the world.
Yeah.
They want to change their own little world, you know. And even they did not do that because the countermeasures financed by the Gulf countries, and that's why I'm why we understand why people hate, perhaps, Saudi Arabia or UAE or the Gulf countries who finance the counter-revolutions, because they want dictatorships, they want oppressive regimes to control all the Arab people, so they don't have a democracy, so they don't have a reform, so they don't have anything, you know?
Yep.
And that explains the dynamics why, you know, as an Arab citizen in an XYZ Arab country, I don't have good feelings about this leader or that leader. If he died or he killed, Gaddafi was slaughtered, you know, was killed, you know? Whereas the Yemeni leader, Ali Abdullah Saleh, is still alive, but he plotted his way back to Yemen. See, and he destroyed Yemen in cooperation with the Shia.
So is that the former president behind a lot of the turmoil that forced the current president, prime minister? And he wasn't Saleh our ally, though? Wasn't he an American ally?
He was an American stooge, not an ally.
Right, but that's what I mean. He was like the American puppet. He was the American puppet.
France is an ally, okay? France is an ally. Britain is an ally. Al Abdullah Saleh, they're not allies. They're just like puppets, you know?
Right.
But, you know, Al Jazeera leaked a tape. Al Abdullah Saleh conspired with the Houthis what to do about Yemen.
Right.
But, you know, it's all, you know, to me, this is a reversal of what happened in the Arab Spring. It is quite unfortunate. But that was a quite reversal.
Yeah, the Arab Spring, don't you agree that the Arab Spring is dead and that now it's the Arab Winter and there is no Arab Spring? Where do we really have democracy or any benefits from the Arab world? In Yemen, let's look at Yemen. It's a mess, isn't it?
Yemen is not even a real country anymore. It's very poor, the poorest in the Arab world. It's very poor and it's very disorganized and tribal, armed to teeth. And on top of that, you have foreign influence. Saudi Arabia, first of all, in my opinion, analytically, Saudi Arabia is not...
Saleh was kicked out because of the Arab Spring. Isn't that true? He lost it because of the Arab Spring.
He was a corrupt leader. I mean, he wanted his son to be a leader.
So now he's coming back. Maybe, you know, he and Hosni Mubarak are going to have like a, you know, a welcome back party. We have a new Arab movement.
It's like Freddy Krueger. You'll never go away. They all come back. I think Arab leaders, they're like Freddy Cougars, man. I'm telling you. They never go away. When you kill them,
they figure out a way to take control.
I'm telling you. Either their sons, their tribe,
how much legal system,
who's never borrowed?
How much responsibility do Americans have in Yemen? I mean, haven't we been leading a secret war down there for the past 12, 14 years, using drones to kill and massacre people? We backed the Saleh regime. You know, the new president, Mansour Hadi, you know, I don't think he got real support from the United States. Well, was he a good guy even? I don't know.
Well, you know, he was a transitional president, okay? He got there until Yemen get, you know, stabilized, the political system get stabilized and the political groups, you know, to work together and establish some sort of functioning democracy.
Right.
But it didn't work out that way because Ali Abdullah Saleh was conspiring with the Houthis. In other words, Ali Abdullah Saleh said, either me back, either I have this country, or there's no country. So either me or forget
about
the country.
And I think
that's the mission statement of all Arab leaders.
Yeah.
I think if you kill an Arab leader, either him or his family, forever and ever, or forget about the country, we could destroy it. That's what happened in Syria.
And doesn't that destroy all our efforts? I mean, you know, people wonder why Palestine is an afterthought. You know, the Israelis are the Israeli government, and I don't blame the Israeli people, although they're not doing enough to stand up to their own fanatics and terrorist prime ministers like Netanyahu. But aren't the Arabs, in their dysfunction and divisions, aren't they in enabling Israel to do everything that it wants to do? Netanyahu comes to the United States. He's like the president. He's treated with more respect than the president of the United States, Barack Obama. Netanyahu gets more respect from a majority of the members of Congress and Senate than the president of the United States gets, and nobody cares. What does that say?
Even though I think it's illegal what Joe Boehner have done, inviting a foreign head of state to come to this country.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Because he infringes on the constitutional power of the United States president. infringes on that, because that territory is under the Constitution. It's belonged to the President of the United States, Barack Obama, so he's infringing upon that. So I think it is illegal. There's a legal argument there. But nevertheless, and you were asking me about the Arab people. But look, you know, if I was a Syrian guy in Syria for 30 to 50 years under the Ba'ath Party, or under Saddam Hussein for another 30 or 40 or 50 under the Ba'ath Party, or in Algeria, or in Tunisia, I mean, I am a helpless guy. Yeah. I live my life, and I want to eke a living, okay? And if they push me, I'll say, long live the king, long live the president, long live the Ba'ath, long live, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. So I can live, so I can survive. And now, when I get the chance to voice my opinion, they killed me, they slaughtered me, they destroyed my house, they destroyed my town, they destroyed my entire country because I dared to speak out because I want a better life.
Yeah,
I don't want to become a king or a president. I want a better life. So that's the state of an average Arab citizen all over the Arab world, with exception, of course, the Arabs in the Gulf, because they're better off. Saudi Arabia, during the Arab Spring, they pumped maybe $20 billion into the economy, into the coffers of the citizens. Okay, no debt. If you want to get married, here's money. You want to go to college in the United States, okay, we can give you, we can finance that. You can take your wife. You can take a servant with you, too, on us. So they bribe, basically, everybody else in the country, so they want to rebel. The rest, the have-nots, the poor, the Syrians, Jordanians, Palestinians, Algerians, Moroccans, Tunisian, you know, they have nothing. And so I think the jury's not out yet. I think the Arab Spring is not completely dead. Maybe it's still, you know, pumping. There is some life to it. Maybe now in hibernating, maybe in some year, and maybe someday in a few years we'll come back again, because
that's what they say. That's when I was a kid.
That's become an experience.
When I was a kid, they used to say that about Palestine. Don't worry. We're going to take care of it. You guys, we'll handle it. Listen, it's all depressing, to be honest, to be Arab in today's world. It's horrible. You had another great story, by the way, at thearabdailynews.com. And by the way, we're on site again to hit over 800,000 page views at thearabdailynews.com. And I want to thank everybody who goes to that website to read all the stories and the original news and commentary. You had a great story about Bobby Jindal. What did he do?
We broke a lot of stories. Yeah,
looked Arab. I thought maybe he was a Muslim, but is he Indian or something? He's the governor of Louisiana.
Indian.
What is he?
His real name is Piyush. Okay, so
but he anglicized his name to Bobby.
Right, very close, right? Bobby,
yeah,
and Piyush.
Bobby,
okay,
and Piyush.
Like my name is Ali, I could call myself Jack. It's the same argument, right? You know, come on. But, you know, that's just fine. I mean, I don't hold him against.
Yeah, right, let him do whatever he wants, but he's a racist, isn't he? How could he be how could he become a racist when he's a minority himself? How could he do that?
You know, in South Carolina, where I'm from, Governor Nikki Haley, she's Indian American, just like Bobby Jindal. During the last election on Romney campaign, I was covering that campaign, and I asked her, Governor Haley, you know, why in South Carolina you will not allow the minority, the black, the African-Americans, not to go to vote without having a driver license? Because it's problematic, if you remember that.
Right.
You know, for minorities, you know, older, you know, in the rural areas in the South. She said, well, I'm a minority. So in other words, she's saying that because she's a minority, she could deny other minorities the right to vote if they don't have, because of historical reasons and some problems in the past, and, you know, racism among them, you know, a big problem, they don't have identity cards, and to prevent, and because the majority of which they vote Democratic, so the Republicans decided, well, you can't vote at all if you don't have an ID or a driver license. So Nikki Haley, another Indian American, Republican,
right,
very conservative, stands against a minority.
Right.
She told me.
And they're minorities.
Well,
they stand against minority rights.
But she, you know, she twisted that by saying, I'm a minority, you know, but I don't care about other minorities. If this minority, the black people, the poor, you know, want to make it, they have to act like me or become like me. But they can't, you see. And that's a problem. You know, a minority, just like, you know, if you have a black African-American who's ultra-conservative and stands against affirmative action. You know,
yeah.
Or stands against, you know, minority rights and things like that.
All right.
All is debatable, but we can have a civil debate without standing against each other.
Allie, we're pretty much running out of time here. And final thoughts on Bobby Jindal. He said some racist stuff, didn't he? Real quick,
yeah,
what did he?
Well, he said, Muslim communities come to the United States or in Europe, they have no-go zones. First of all, like I have my own, you know, ghetto that nobody come in. And we come here, we don't want to assimilate. We become Arabs and Muslims and have nothing to do with the larger society. Totally untrue. Totally false.
That is totally untrue. That's outrageous. Yeah. Why did he say it? I mean, was he playing into the growing anti-Muslim, anti-Arab attitude that drives politics in America?
Because in this country, it's good politics to attack Muslims and Arabs because we don't stand up for ourselves. One,
I agree. We definitely don't do enough.
We are weak, and we should stand up. We should write more. Write to the editor. If you see a bad cartoon about us, you know, make us look bad. Write to the editor. Give them a call. Call your congressman. Yeah. Call your senator. Be active, proactive. You know,
support. Listen. We're out of time, Ellie. I got to let you go, but I agree with you. That, you know, if you're Arab and if you're Muslim and if you're Christian Arab or Muslim Arab out there, it's about time that we stood up and said, I'm proud to be Arab. And if that man over there is Arab, I'm going to support him. Regardless of what his views are, I'm going to support him. And we should support each other because you want to know something? Our divisions make it easy for everybody else to hurt and divide us. And Palestine is a dream. When it should be a reality just because of that. Ellie Younis, my guest, a great writer. You can read all his stuff at thearabdailynews.com. He does some great columns, and he's in journalism. He's in the hardcore heart of journalism. You do a great job. Ellie, thank you, man.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later. This is Ray Hanania. I just want to thank everybody for joining us here at Talk of the Town Radio. I know we tried to cover a lot of topics today, but, I do appreciate everybody that listens, all your feedback and comments for the show, mean a lot. You know, it makes you wonder, you know, is this just a waste of time, you know, talking about this stuff? You know, should I just go out there and be an American and forget that I'm Arab? Maybe we all should, right? I don't know. But I think it means something to be Arab and I'm proud to be Arab. And I think that we need to support each other and work with each other. Khalid, thanks for running the show. I'm going to be back here next Friday at 4:05 here at 1450 AM and YahalaVoice.com. Don't forget to visit my website at TheArabDailyNews.com. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yahala Voice, al-sawt al-arabi fi Amerika.